Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, welcome one and all to another episode of Magic Universe with Sharona. And I am your radio host, Sharona Rapsik, and I am coming to you live from the Big Apple, New York City. I am a tarot master reader, an angel Reiki master, and a life coach and teacher of the magical and intuitive arts. I am so happy that you are joining me today. This little radio show is all about awakening and embracing your inner personal power and self-confidence, and all about creating magic and miracles in all areas of your life by using some angel guidance and the divine and loving conscious energy of the magical universe that we are each a part of. So, are you ready? Are you ready to live your magic? Are you ready to be who you really are? During this hour, I invite you to learn more. And I'm also going to invite you to step into your power and awaken your magic. This show is brought to you by the Psychic Talk Radio Network. That's the one and only radio network with spirit. And Psychic You. So please go visit www.psychictalk.net to learn more about our past as well as our upcoming radio shows, our hosts, and as well as our online courses that we offer at Psychic U. Also, we want to invite you, when you go to psychictalk.net, go to psychictalk.net/chat, and there you will find our chat room. You will meet a lot of interesting people in the chat room, and I'll be checking in too to see if any of the people in the chat room have any questions. Okay, and the show is also brought to you by the IAAP. That's the International Association of Angel Practitioners, which is the very first worldwide organization that was formed to educate, celebrate, and support spiritual practitioners and entrepreneurs around the world. So please, when you get a chance, go visit www.angelpractitioners.com to learn even more. And finally, today's episode is also being sponsored by the ARE of New York City, a nonprofit organization formed by a core group of service-oriented volunteers, all inspired by the work of America's psychic, Edgar Cayce. To learn more, please go to www.edgarcayceny.org. Now, that's Edgar Cayce with the Cayce spelled C-A-Y-C-E, followed by N-Y-C. Okay. Magic Universe with Sharona is a live call-in radio show, and here we talk about such topics as angels, crystals, energy healing, tarot and oracle cards, astrology, synchronicity, the laws of attraction, and especially how to raise your energy so that you have good, good, good vibrations, and much more. Magic Universe is on the air live, always on the second and fourth Sunday of each and every month. You can listen to our show on the World Wide Web at, as I said, psychictalk.net on your internet browser. But you can also listen in on your phone, too, simply by calling in, which reminds me, this is a live call-in show. So if you would like to contribute to the topics that we are discussing today, or if you would actually like a free mini tarot reading, an angel message, or just to ask a question or even to say hello, you want to call in to the number 714-816-4628. Once again, that's 714-816-4628. Now, that's to listen. And if you want us to take your call live on the air so we can pick up your call, you must press the number 1 also on your phone keypad. And this will flag us on the switchboard so we'll know to take your call. And we do take phone calls in the order that they are received. So don't hang up or you will lose your spot in the line. Okay, now that we've gotten that all taken care of, it is time for us to start our show today. Okay, the topic of this episode of Magic Universe with Sharona is The Life and Legacy of Pamela Pixie Coleman Smith. We will also be having, as I said, open lines, so please call in. I may pick up your call, and I would love to hear your comments on today's topic. And also, if you call in, I will be giving out some angel Reiki and doing some free mini tarot readings all show long. So please call in now and get in line. Okay, so who is Pamela Pixie Coleman Smith and why is she important? Well, let me just tell you a little something about her. She was born in 1878 and she died in 1951. Now, she was an artist and a designer, but she was also a stage and costume designer, a folklorist, a poet, an author, and an illustrator of ballads and folk tales. She was also a feminist and a suffragette, and the publisher of books and broadsheets, especially ones that allowed women to express their thoughts and creativity. So she was truly a woman ahead of her time. But she is best known today for illustrating the Rider-Waite Smith Tarot, Arthur Edward Waite. Now, to tell you a little something about this deck, the Rider-Waite Smith deck, it is in circulation in over 20 countries, and it is the most popular tarot deck ever made. And what's interesting about this deck is it has inspired and continues to inspire countless new tarot decks every year based upon its system of symbols, numbers, and structure. Okay, so what do we need to know about the Rider-Smith deck, which is also known as the RWS? Okay, well, it was created over 100 years ago in 1909. And the interesting thing about the name of the cards is this deck was first known as the Rider deck, which was actually the publisher of the deck. And soon after that, the cards were also named the Rider-Waite deck, after the creator, Arthur Edward Waite, a scholar and one of the founders of the Golden Dawn. And if you notice, they don't mention Pixie in there as the illustrator. And what you need to know about the cards themselves is they were hand-drawn by Pamela Pixie Coleman-Smith. We're going to start calling her Pixie because Pamela Coleman-Smith is a long name, and Pixie was the name that she was known to her family and friends. So we are now part of her family and friends. And what she was commissioned to do was to paint and draw the drawings for the tarot deck. And she once said to her mentor, Alfred Stieglitz, that she did 80 paintings and she finished the job for very little cash. Now, if you think about it today, to do 80 pictures, or even if it was 78 pictures as what we have in the deck, that is an amazing amount of artwork to do in 6 months. And her illustrations were most likely done in pen and ink with possibly a pencil underdrawing. Now, what's interesting, you're going to see there's a lot of mysteries in the life of Pamela Coleman-Smith. The original drawings are lost, so we don't know for sure how she did them. Also, the plates that were used to print the cards, the original plates, they are lost forever. So we don't know if in those 6 months she just drew and created the drawings, or if she also colored and watercolored them, or whether someone else did that. Now, why is Pamela Coleman-Smith important? Well, as an artist, she changed the face of tarot. And she actually, what happened in 1909 is this was the first mass-produced tarot deck. It also was in the English language because most tarot decks were either in French, sometimes Spanish, and sometimes in Italian. So this was a deck that was in English. And what is unique about her deck is it was certainly the first tarot deck in English that had illustrations on every card. So as you know, with the tarot deck, you have what's known as the major arcana, where there are 22 cards, and then you have the minors or pips. Usually, in the past, you would find a tarot deck, but the minor arcana or the pips was very similar to a deck of playing cards. You would just have the number on the card and the suit of the card. Well, what happens on this deck, the Rider Smith deck, is that each and every card has an illustration on it that enables the reader to understand the card without consulting with a book. I mean, you can work with the cards very intuitively. And these illustrations actually created what I like to call the language of tarot, where you start to be able to think in terms of words and symbols. So Pamela Coleman-Smith created a language as well as an artwork. And I don't have to tell you that I absolutely love tarot, and her work that she did on the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck really inspired me to take my life in a whole different direction. And I believe that if you are listening to the show, it's probably had that same impact on you too. Now, what's interesting is, despite all the work that Pamela Coleman Pixie did for both the tarot cards as well as her work, where, I mean, she did countless pieces of artwork She was a costume designer. She was a publisher. It is her deck that, thank goodness, we know her by. But despite her work, she died penniless and in obscurity, as so many women artists did back in her day and still do, which is really sad. And I'm so glad that she is finally, we're finally finding out about this woman. And she was a truly fascinating and original woman. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have her as a topic on my show was I wanted to celebrate Pixie's life and give thanks for her work on the show. And her creation of one of history's most celebrated tarot decks. Now, to learn more about her, in the past few years, there are some books that I would highly recommend. One of them is Pamela Coleman Smith, The Untold Story, and that is by Stuart R. Kaplan, Craig Greer, Elizabeth Foley O'Connor, and Belinda Boyd Parsons. And that is a wonderful book that you can learn more about Pixie in. And there's also been another wonderful book that has come out recently. It's Pamela Coleman Smith, Tarot Artist, The Pious Pixie, by Don Rob Robinson. And one of the books that I absolutely love, love, love is a wonderful little historical fiction book, The Magician and Fool. And that is by Susan Wads. So you can certainly read these books and you can go online and learn more about Pixie. But one thing that is really interesting about this woman, she was a very mysterious woman. In fact, there are many mysteries that haven't been solved about her. So that's why we have to keep exploring her more. I mean, one of the things that's very interesting about Pixie is we don't even know exactly where she is buried, since she was actually buried in an unmarked grave. And the records of where that is was actually lost in a fire. So there are many mysteries about Pamela Coleman Smith. So maybe I'm looking forward to talking to some of my listeners out there. Maybe they might have some things that they can add to this discussion. So I am going to start taking some phone calls now, and I am going to call her on 917. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan. Good to have you here. I hope you're enjoying our topic. And you wouldn't happen to be Susan Wands, because I am holding your book.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for talking about my book. I so appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a lot of fun to read, and I see that it's part of a series of books. So how many books are coming up that are in the series that we can all look forward to?
Well, I've written the second book, High Priestess and Empress, and that's in final movement to get out into the world. And then I've done the rough draft of the third book, Emperor and Hierophant. I'll be taking the first two cards of the major arcana and exploring the muses that Pamela used to create the tarot cards in her tarot deck. But Sharona, I was so touched to hear you talk about how you've identified with her language of tarot, because I think that's one of the reasons why it's sold over 100 million copies around the world, is that these drawings of these tarot cards have a real frequency that even Jung identified as a primal archetypal experience. And so the fact that you've connected with it and so many other people have connected with it and with Pamela's life story, I think just shows how much we're all in the same journey to try to find our own enlightenment.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, you know, the images are so iconic. And like you say, they have a vibration to them. And they really, if you want to listen, they do definitely speak to you. And
yes.
Continue to speak to you.
Pamela led such an unusual life. She wasn't a graduate of any fancy Oxford-type university. She studied at the Pratt University in Brooklyn. She studied a little bit with the Golden Dawn, but she was very much her own person and authentic in the way that she reflected the art that actually spoke to her. She had a condition
yes.
called synesthesia, where she had cross experiences with her sensations. And so when she listened to Beethoven or listened to Schumann or any other classical music, she was inspired by the visions that she would see. So I think in some ways, these tarot cards inspire us to get in touch with what archetypes, what things in our lives are we trying to explore by asking for guidance and looking at tarot cards.
Yes, yes. She was so magical, too. I think one of the things that I loved in your book was you explored she was part of a wonderful group of people, a circle of friends from Victorian theater and literature. I mean, I read where she would have these parties and she would invite these people, to come to be with her. And my goodness, I would love to be a fly on the wall. I wish I could have gotten invited to one of those parties.
I know. Ransom especially wrote a very wonderful essay called A Bohemian Night, and where he talks about going
yes.
to one of Pamela's soirees. And there were, famous musicians there, and Ellen Terry and Bram Stoker. Bram Stoker especially was a huge influence on Pamela. And he was a very frustrated author himself. Dracula, or as it was called then, The Undead, could not find a publisher,
mm-hmm.
and Henry Irving refused to do it at the Lyceum. But they were all artists trying to
yes.
be in the world and create their own work according to what they could do. And I think it says a lot to Pamela in her cards about how do you get going? How do you motivate yourself? How do you find your own inner active artist to get out in the world? And so the fact that she got paid so little money, about as long as it takes to gestate a child, her child has gone out into the world in so many different aspects in order to inspire
exactly.
people to actually think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, wherever she is, she has to be smiling. And hopefully she knows about the impact that these cards have made on the world. But what's interesting, she didn't do just the cards. I mean, she was such a fabulous artist and a designer. And, what was so cool is she was such a champion for women. She actually had her own little publishing house where she was trying to publish the works of women, because women had a hard time back then, and we still do. So she was such a shero, not a hero, a shero for women.
And a huge champion to teach people. I mean, she taught the suffragettes how to do screen printing so they could do their own posters. She was part of a children's theater pageant show where she was trying to teach women how to direct. I mean, at that time, for a woman to direct in the late 1890s or 1900s was unheard of. And yet Edie Craig, who was Ellen Terry's daughter, started the Pioneer Players, and they were actually directing plays and writing and directing them. And so she was very much her own person, saying, take responsibility. On the other hand, Pamela had a very loose relationship with money. So she was very theory on top of what money was and how to spend money and save money. She was fortunate enough to have an uncle give her a bequest and a will, so she was able to take some of that money later in life and live in a little monastery in Lizard, Cornwall. But most of the time, money was an elusive thing for her.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, you know, everyone talks about that she died penniless, but I like to think of her that, you know, that old saying where someone said, when I die, I want my last check to bounce. She had just enough money to do what she wanted to do. I mean, you don't want to die with a lot of money in the bank, because that's just going to go whatever.
Exactly. Well, you know, I did get to go to Bude and meet Don Robinson, who's written that lovely book about Pamela, which mostly describes what it was like for her to convert to Catholicism in the later years. But Don actually took us to the All Angels Church, where Pamela is supposedly buried. And we had a very nice circle of people giving our appreciation for everything that she's done. But according to the people in Bude, Pamela was larger than life. She had a big laugh. She was joyous. You know, if she was going through tough times with money, she was still trying to pay groceries with small paintings. She still belonged to organizations and was part of people's lives. So even though she may, as you say, she may have died penniless, but she led a very full life. She wanted to be engaged with people and being around people and being a part of the community.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was just, you know, amazing the people that she knew. And I also love, you know, like the, you know, when you look, go back and you look at your tarot deck, and I, after reading your book, and you had like the list of people, kind of as a list of characters that they were real people, I looked up their pictures of them, and you know, you recognize them in the deck. They were her friends from the theater. Certainly, her theater friends are in there. Ellen Terry and all those people. If you look at the queens and the knights and everything, it looks like theater sets from the theater. I mean, they're all there.
Absolutely.
You know?
She definitely used the theater cards almost like theater posters. They're very almost Japanese in the idea that there's two dimensions and they have primary colors. There's no real vanishing point, but there's a very strong connection to what the Del Sartre sort of psychological gesture each one of these tarot characters is trying to convey. She had a real sense of theatricality about what is the most dramatic, like the magician with one hand above and one hand below. That's very similar to the King Arthur poster that Henry Irving had as part of the Lyceum Theater.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
You know, she did one of the first theater brochures for the Lyceum Theater, so she understood what the best dramatic image for each one of these tarot cards would be in a theatrical sense.
Indeed. I mean, it's like, you know, I think that's why they're so iconic in their message, because it's almost like she's stopped the camera at that one moment when it conveys the whole scene. So, you know, when you look at that card.
Yes, her second sight, she described it as almost a camera lens opening up and giving her a vision and then closing. It's such a special intuitive process that she describes, that when she was really inspired, it was almost happening intuitively without her being a part of it. It was, I mean, in the old days, she would have been called a witch and she would have been burned because she had visions. But actually, she was very much in touch with what this was that was bringing her artwork to life.
Yeah. Well, what I love is the part where in the book, you know, it's about her experiences when her family moved to Jamaica, and her, I guess, her nanny or governess, or at least the person who was Jamaican that was so influential in her life, she practiced a form of magic called Obi, which is kind of the magical arts that are done in Jamaica. Like, you know, we've heard of voodoo and those, but in Jamaica, it's Obi. So She definitely was magical. And I really love the part where you have in the book where about the when the villain shows up on the scene, when she's getting ready to do the cards, you know, Aleister Crowley, which, you know, I kind of see them doing dueling magic, and her magic really was more powerful than his.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. Both of them had difficulties getting their tarot decks published. In his lifetime, Aleister never had the soft deck done, and he didn't actually illustrate it. Lady Harris did. And so he had all these ideas about, he was like, wait, he had an idea of what they should be. But Pamela, you know, Waite did advise her, but I always say it's about time that they're called the Smith-Waite cards, because Pamela is the one who had the entire vision of what the cards should be. Even Waite said she was the most psychic person he'd ever met. So his idea of having tarot cards had more to do with cult building, in my mind, and this is just my personal opinion. It wasn't really about making sure to teach them in a Joseph Campbell kind of, you know, visions of enlightenment type of way. It's more like how do you break free of all the conditioning that you've had to listen to authority, which is two very different ideas about what are tarot cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting. She actually, her deck was so much more successful than his, and it's almost like she did a binding spell on him. You know, he, you know, there's, you know, many people speculate, why did she, I guess it was around, I'm just trying to get my dates straight, I guess around 1911, I mean, the deck comes out in 1909, and I think in 1911, she did switch to becoming, became a Catholic, but I wonder how, you know, she described it. I know I've read in other books that it was great fun to be, so, you know, I think it was kind of her own form of Catholicism that she was practicing.
Yeah.
I don't think she ever gave up on the magic.
No.
You know, I think she, which, you know, that's, you know, it's interesting if you look at the nature of religions like OB and voodoo and stuff, they practice the magic within the structure of the Catholic Church, but they're kind of doing their own little thing there. So
absolutely,
I kind of got...
Sure. It's so much about...
Yeah, I got those vibes.
I mean,
Yeah.
I think, you know, ritual, whether it's voodoo or Catholicism or her parents' religion, which was Swedenborgianism, which is one of the most wacky religions you'll ever hear of in your life, but it's still all about connecting with people through ritual. And, you know, some people are very surprised that she converted to Catholicism, but like you say, it was her own version of Catholicism, because at that time women couldn't be altar girls, they couldn't be on the altar, they couldn't say anything, and I think that's part of the reason why she bought this little monastery in Lizard and wanted to have a bed and breakfast for priests so that she could have her own version of what religion means to her.
Yeah, well, I immediately thought of, a few years back, I went to New Orleans, and you go to the Catholic Church is there, and they show this is the voodoo section, you know, so she was doing her kind of little OB or voodoo thing in England, tucked within the respectability of one faith. You kind of put in what you believe, which in a way is kind of symbolic of what we all do, you know, like we all create our own spirituality within the, you know, possibly within the structure of what, you know, what is out in society or, you know, or you just build, I like to think you build upon it.
Exactly. I mean, one person's miracle is another person's magic. And I think Oscar Wilde might have said it best is, man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? I mean, we have to imagine that we're beyond what this corporal sense of existence is, because otherwise we're really limiting ourselves to what is this wonderful mass of brains that we're carrying around with us.
Yes. Yes. Wow. So I'm really excited that you're going to be doing other books. So I kind of get the structure. They're all based upon two of the major arcana cards. And so there's, 22 of them. So can we expect 11 books?
Yes, that's the idea. I mean, I'm having to do an extraordinary amount of research, as you might imagine, and I'm so thrilled with all these books that have come out. There's also a new book that's coming out this fall, which is more of an academic book about Pamela's background and her family, which has now been identified that still lives in the New York area, who has some artwork of Pamela's that has not been published that will be coming out. I'm thrilled that there's still more excitement about Pamela and about where she came from, and the fact that we, like you said, Sharona, we really don't know her, and we can't really pigeonhole who she was. So
exactly.
There's so many aspects of her life. Everybody's very curious, but the fact is that we know what we know. I think this new book that Elizabeth Foley O'Connor will be putting out will clear up some questions, but there still will always be some aspects of Pamela's life we just don't know for sure.
Well, I think, that might have been something that she wanted. She wanted to, we are fascinated by people that we don't know a lot about. So I think she in some ways created this this legacy, this vision that she was, because that's how we we think of her. I think it's almost like, I know there's people make many different speculations about who she was and where she came from, but it really doesn't matter because we have, we have this whole story and that she created about herself and lived. And the thing is, that's kind of like all of us, we create the story of who we are.
Right, and we're not pigeonholed to just one identity. I think the reason why mystery is so precious, just like Shakespeare or Jane Austen, we don't know everything about them. And the thing that's fabulous with that is that we're allowed to have our own interpretation of who Jane Austen was to her sister and who Shakespeare was to his family, because we're not living in this age of reality TV with them where we know everything that happened to them. We get to have them as a personal experience for ourselves.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed.
And I think that the thing I also love about her cards is that in some ways, I think Lady Harris, who did Alistair's card, she sort of sniffed, oh, they're so childlike. Part of me like, you mean they're so accessible.
Exactly.
There's a funny competition between the two ideas about how much knowledge do you have to use tarot cards? And I always like to say, you don't have to have knowledge. You have to have an open mind and an open heart. And then the energy and
exactly.
the archetypes will speak to you. If you have to get a book out and look up every little artifact in the card, then you're not really experiencing the cards. You're interpreting somebody's mysterious, Easter egg of an artwork illustration. And to me, that's a little more frustrating than actually having a conversation with energy that someone put in about what, as Joseph Campbell would say, the hero's journey. What is our path to enlightenment? How can we become better people? And I think we all want to. We go to the tarot cards because we have a goal. We have a question. We want to better ourselves. And how do we find guidance for that? And, as you know, Sharona, as you know very well from your language of tarot, you know that there's a big difference between guidance and answers. And guidance is a very tough road to go on, but it's the more enlightened one because you have to teach yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yeah. I'm always amazed, too, about that, most people don't realize that she was American. And she was really American as apple pie in some ways. I mean, she was the family moved to England, which is where she was born, in London. But she was a girl of New York. I mean, her grandfather was the mayor of Brooklyn.
She was very much part of in the social milieu of Edith Wharton. I mean, her part of her family were the Townsends of Brooklyn. she was constantly cited in the Brooklyn Eagle that, oh, she's gone to the opera and she's wearing coral in her hair as hair pieces. How interesting. So, and she actually lived on her own as a young woman. She lost her mother when she was an early teenager,
yes,
and then her father when she was 18. So she didn't have a lot of parental overbearing guidance, which was the norm during the Victorian era. And she was American in the way that she was a free thinker. You know, her parents were very, when they lived in Manchester, England, her parents were sort of the social buzz of that town set. They loved to have, there was such a thing called the parlor actress, which her mother was. And her mother loved to perform and to be in the social. And I think that's where Pamela got her love of storytelling, with her very first publications were the Tales from Jamaica, from her Nana. She was the very first person to have a Jamaican patois put in a book. And this was before she was 19 years old. So she was very driven to tell these stories. And I think she came from a background where she had the freedom to do that.
Yeah, I'm amazed that she was like really like a mere teenager when she, in 18, I think it was 1899, well, 1889, and between that and the mother died, and I think her father came to Brooklyn, and she, or they were living in Manhattan, and she actually became like a really successful, almost like a teenage artist in Manhattan.
At such a young age. At 15, she was going to Pratt, which was unheard of. You know, she to be going to school at that young. Her family really believed in her, and I think that was something that stayed within her all her life. That boy, at 15 years old, you know, before the turn of the century, to be a student in art school was really something. And you know, her father, when he would go with her in England, when they went back there, he was very proud of her and would chat her up all the time and was very proud of her. I think it was very hard when he passed because she pretty much was adopted by the Lyceum Theatre people, but she had no parents. Except for before then, her family, who is now in New York State, they were very much used to her coming to their country house and creating all sorts of artwork. Like she said, she did everything from wallpaper to costume design to posters to creating books and pamphlets and drawing cards and book plates. I mean, she was just a busy factory. If she was alive today, she would be a brand that would be turning out all sorts of artwork.
Yeah, she would have been a brand. And also, I think I love the part where she would her performances where she had like a miniature theater and little props, little toys that surrounded her, and she was telling these stories. And she was so successful. She was like a performance artist. So,
Mark Twain, one of the most hilarious performers we've ever seen when she was performing her, I think it's been the short story from Jamaica she did was called The Two Dozen Eggs or The One Dozen Eggs, because she did it in a brilliant patois and she had the audience roaming. Now, Pamela didn't always know where her boundaries went in terms of being a performing artist and an artist who's performing at an art gallery. There were some times when she would display her artwork and say, you know what, it would also help with this? I'll just recite, you know, W.B. Yeats, one of his poems, or I'll do one of the Anne Nancy stories. Well, at that time, you weren't supposed to be multi-talented. You were, as a woman especially, you were supposed to do just one thing. And so to come to an art gallery and say, wait a minute, the artist who's sitting in the middle of the floor with three candles telling Jamaican folk tales, she's the artist of the things on the wall? This isn't adding up. And so it was hard for her to get accreditation or real credence to what she was doing because they just didn't understand how somebody could be this talented. And I think that's the thing that I've always loved about researching Pixie's life is that she was not afraid to throw everything at the wall. You know, I'm going to learn how to make lace. I'm going to learn how to do wallpaper. I'm going to learn how to bind a book. She was fearless, absolutely fearless.
Well, that she encourages us to be fearless. You know, that that's how I use the tarot deck is to, embrace my personal power. And when I read for people, that's the type of readings that I like to do. I'm just noticing that we're at the bottom of the hour and want you to stay on, but I need to at least let people know what's coming up next week.
Absolutely.
On the radio network.
Yes, go ahead. And
so please hang in there with me.
I sure will.
So I want to let thank you. I just want to let everyone know that tomorrow, Monday, September the 14th, we do have a show on that will be at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's called The Wisdom of the Soul, and that is with host Janice Fuchs. And then on Wednesday, all of our shows right now are on 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. But, of course, we're on the great web, so you can just go into Psychic Talk Net and can find out when the time is by you. So we have coming up on Wednesday this week, we have Living Your Best Life During Uncertain Times, Part 2, and that's going to be with our host, host Catherine Hahn. And then on Friday, September the 18th, we have the show The Doctors Are In with host Dr. Rose Wilkerson and Dax Carlisle. And the title that they're going to be doing is Back to Bed. It's about powerful lucid dreaming, which sounds really awesome. And like this show, they also do open lines and some life coaching and tarot mini readings. And the next Saturday, we'll have the show also with hosts Mary Brown and Dax Carlisle, and they're going to be talking about oracle decks, which, we've been talking about tarot decks today. Oracle decks are another type of card divination that you can do, although they have a much more informal structure than to the tarot. So they're going to be talking about oracle decks. And I'll be back 2 weeks from today. Magic Universe will be back on Sunday, September 27th. And that's going to be a live show where you can just call in and talk to me about whatever's on your mind. And I'll also be giving out some Angel Reiki and some free mini tarot readings. So I'll be back in 2 weeks. So, Susan, one of the things that I do on this show is I do take a few calls. So I believe you're also a tarot reader. Is that correct?
That's
you have
right,
to be.
Yeah.
So we have a couple people that are hanging on the line. I don't know if they're just going to want to talk with us more about Pixie or if they want like a mini reading. But, me, I always have a deck of cards in my hand. So if you'd like to take a couple calls with me, would you like to do that? It's great
sure,
fun.
Sure, I'll hang on to this. Absolutely.
Okay. So this one looks like it might be a Skype call because it's all 1111. I don't know if you guys are into angel numbers, but what is that one? The angels have a message for you. So let me just go to that one. Hi, caller on area code 111. What is your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. I hear someone in the background, but I'm going to put you back on hold. Okay, I'm going now to area code 267. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from? Hi, caller on area code 267. Where are you calling from and what is your name? Okay. Well, we have callers calling us in spirit, Susan. So I'm going to just try the... Hey, Pixie, is that you? Oh, if it is, we want to let you know. We love you, Pixie. I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be surprised, exactly.
Yeah. Let me just put that caller back in the queue. And I'm going to go to that one. It looks like a Skype call. Think if I can pick that one up. So funny, on my Mac, I'm getting, you know, I'm doing this all on my Mac. So when I go to the different calls, I get that little spinning wheel of color. Caller,
all right.
Area code 111, are you there? You calling in? Okay, I don't hear you, so I'm going to put you back in the queue since we are having such a fun time, you know, Susan and I talking. So let's keep talking. Wow. We were having such a great conversation, my goodness. Yeah,
well, I
absolutely
think
love
that's so good about these tarot cards is that they've really given the power to people to have their own process of investigation instead of having to go to a priest or a therapist. It's really wonderfully empowering for people to use tarot.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's some pretty powerful magic there in the on those little pieces of paper. You know, like people say, you know, is it the pieces of paper or is it the reader? And I kind of say, well, they're a great accessory, like Dorothy's ruby red slippers. I mean, she could really fly on her own and do stuff, but those slippers help because we like accessories, right? And
right.
And that's what the cards are. You know, you just touch them. I mean, I have been into cards forever. I actually started off as a kid. I learned to read on a regular poker deck. And I always said that, you know, just touching them, you know, certain things start to happen. So when did you get into cards, into tarot and tarot divination? I always like to hear other people's journeys.
Yes, and the symbols in those colors are very much like the vibrations that scientists are still trying to figure out. I mean, just in the science of what is communication, what is the pace
mm-hmm.
of a heartbeat, what is the science of this? And people always say, oh, tarot cards have no scientific proof to them. You can't tell the future with them. And I'm very much about, I think the tarot cards are just a great way to investigate where you're at. Because how you identify
exactly.
or how you respond to something is, in some ways, our bodies are smarter than our minds sometimes. And if we physically have a pleasant or adverse reaction to a tarot card, it's because our body intuitively is saying, I'm connecting with this on all sorts of subconscious levels because this archetype wants to say something to me. I need to learn from this. Jung especially loved this tarot deck. He loved playing with cards because he thought they were very much a direct link into the psyche and how people can actually deal with questions that they can't ask themselves.
Yes, yes. And when did you get into them personally? When did you, I always tell people, when did you buy your first tarot deck?
Well, I have a twin sister, and she likes to remind me that in high school I had a little book of canvas cards that I would fill in the colors myself. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I was given a tarot deck by my friend Eve Lupert, and then I started to do it sometimes as a part-time party gig. I carry too much of that energy with me, so I can't make a living as a tarot reader because it's a very heavy responsibility. I mean, you do take on people's issues and energy, and so I think that the tarot readers who are able to do that are phenomenal because it's a big process to get into somebody's headset and to be neutral and to just interpret. So I don't
yes.
necessarily do tarot readings as any other way. I commend you for being able to do it. It's quite a gift to be able to have those boundaries to do it. But I've loved tarot for 30, 40 years, and I love how it empowers people to address issues. I think it's a marvelous tool for looking into yourself.
Oh, without a doubt. I encourage, when I do readings for people, the next thing that I say to them is, if you don't have a tarot deck, go out and buy one. You know, I'll let you know which cards came up so you can look at them. And, you know, I think of myself more as a teacher rather than, you know, as a coach. You know, I kind of, I'm a coach where I lead you toward something that, you know, can address meaning in your life. So was the first deck you got, was it a Rider-Waite-Smith deck or one of the others?
Yes, it was Pamela's cards, but I could not find her name on it anywhere. It was Rider-Waite, and I was like, wait, what are these, what's this word signature in each card? And then I realized she was her signature, and that was the only way that her voice was coming through these cards. It wasn't the Smith-Waite deck, it was Rider-Waite, and I went, oh, this isn't right. So I of my purposes in life is to make sure people know who Pamela Coleman Smith was. She was the main creator of these cards, and I'm very proud of her. I love her. I talk to her sometimes and say, I want the whole world to know who you are. I want them to experience. The main vibe I always get from her is larger than life, and the one thing I always read about her is she has this big, beautiful laugh. And I think that's such joy. I know she was disappointed by some people, and she went through World War One and World War Two, and so, of course, she saw tragedy, and she had loss. But to her last days, the thing they used to describe Pamela was her beautiful laugh. And I carry that with me, that joy is the most important aspect to hang on to, no matter how hard of times we're going through.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Yeah, her signature, you know, even the story about the signature, you know, which there was a period where they weren't putting her signature on the cards. And trying to, you know, thank goodness that publisher did publish the cards and got them out there in the 60s and the 70s and whenever. But there was a period where they actually did take her signature off of the cards, and even her, like all the cards, the lettering, if you get one of her decks that one of the older ones, but now they're putting it back again, it was her lettering that's on the cards, and it's a very kind of magical looking lettering on the cards. But I got into them, I guess it was in college. I actually went to Drexel University. I'm also a designer and an artist. And we had a teacher who actually had studied at Pratt. And one of our design projects was we had to design two tarot cards. And I went out and I bought the deck. And I don't know, I connected with her. And then I started learning more about her, you know, as I was, you know, creating my own cards. You know, this is back, I won't say how long ago, I was in college, but let's say it wasn't yesterday. And what was interesting too, I found out that she also at one period after her father died, she tried to go to Drexel University because Drexel, like Pratt, and I almost went to Pratt, but I ended up going to Drexel, which is in Philadelphia, she wasn't, for what, I think the story was they had enough women, so they wouldn't let her in.
Right. Quota, right.
So, you know, she could have, you know, I know Pratt University, they can claim her as an alumni, but Drexel could have done that too. But, you know,
She had family in Philadelphia, and I think that's why she wanted to go to Drexel. Did you study art design when you went to Drexel then?
I studied design and art, and came to New York to become a fashion designer. And I worked for many, many years as a fashion designer and a costume designer. And I always tell people I was kind of the mystical, spiritual fashionista because I always had my deck of tarot cards on me. And it was I feel that I did very well in those fields because I listened to my tarot cards. I also call them my angels too. I one of the ways that I tap into them. It's like what I see, and then I also talk to my angels. And so the tarot was very influential in my design career. And I came to New York, and I'll tell one other interesting Pamela story before we go, because I'm looking at the clock. I'm going, oh, we're at the 3 o'clock mark. When I came to New York, I studied with tarot with a man by the name of Clifford Baez, who had a school and a little ritual place in the Ansonia Hotel. So you know about the
wow.
Ansonia Hotel.
Yes.
And he actually had a deck, which I got to hold, of the original deck from 1909, and he had a copy of the pictorial guide to the tarot, which was the book that came out later, with each of Pamela's illustrations in there. And he allowed me, and it's one of my things that I have, like, I scanned all, I took the book to work. I was working in the garment center. I took the book to work, and of course they had the old-fashioned Xerox machines. I said, you got to allow me to Xerox this. So among my proudest possessions that I have is I have each of Pamela's drawings that was, you know, from the deck, a line drawing. And one of the fun things that's been happening with me is this year I felt Pamela was speaking to me to color with her the, the cards. So I scanned in my Xeroxes of the drawings that were in the original pictorial guide. So a little project that I've been doing is coloring them in. And she speaks to me. The coloring is a little bit different from the original deck, because one of the vibes that I'm picking up from her is we now can do different things with the printing. So so I've nicknamed it the Boho Pixie Tarot, because I imagine myself being part of her bohemian circle. But yeah, that's my Pamela story, and how she's been a part of my life for a long time.
That's lovely.
Wow. So it's great talking with you. And
you too.
Gosh, one day when we can actually meet up in the person-to-person, that's going to be wonderful. I always say to people, hey, if you're in New York, we got to get together for a cup of coffee. But we can't do that right now. But hopefully we will be, there'll be a day when we can do that.
I live near the Ansonia, so we'll go have a drink around the corner from there.
Exactly, yeah, and I'll tell you about Clifford Baez. He was an interesting character.
Excellent.
And we, New York is such a great place. And, it's kind of like sleeping right now, but it will be awakened soon, I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess what you and I need to do is we need to sign off. So thank you so much, Susan Wands, the author of Magician and the Fool. To all my listeners, you want to go and get a copy of this book. You'll love it. I mean, I think one of the things I loved about it the most is it's a book for all ages, which is kind of like also like one of the things about Pixie. She was very childlike. Children understood her magic, and adults understood her magic. So, be sure to pick up Susan's book, Magician and Fool. And I certainly want to thank each and every one of my listeners for joining me today. And as you know, I always sign off. We're talking a lot about energy, and I tell people, remember, you want to focus on the thought that everything is energy, especially your thoughts. But also, when you go about your day, just kind of look and see everything that's going around to you, because the universe speaks to you through the present. And you will find answers there. And I also want to tell people, focus on what is positive in their life. And you know what happens when you focus on what's positive? You will attract even more of those positive things. This is because, as I say, like the name of the show, we live in a magic universe. So I invite you to keep your energy high. I invite you to step into your power and awaken your true magic. And until we meet again, which is, gosh, when it's in 2 weeks, 2 weeks is what, Sunday the 27th, where is this month going to? I am wishing you all countless blessings and high vibrations. And I want you to know I love you all. Bye-bye. Bye, Susan. Bye, Pixie.
Bye.
Bye. My pleasure. Love you. Bye-bye.